Entering Kenmore, doors will open on the left.
How's it going, everyone? Welcome to episode 34 of Entering Kenmore. I am David Azer alongside Zach Coe. Zach, every time I think it's going to get better, it somehow gets worse with the 2025 Boston Red Sox. And I think we're at an all-time low. And that's all I have to say, and I'll kick it over to you.
Yeah, this sucks. Like, I don't know. Fun Boston Red Sox fact, I hate them. That is my opening statement. They're ruining my life. The vibes have never been lower. They can't hit their way out of a wet paper bag, getting shut down by the likes of Mason Barnett and Hogan Harris and JT Ginn and any of the other assholes getting trotted out of the Oakland A's bullpen. Like, it is so unbelievably embarrassing that this is how they're going out.
And it wasn't even just them. It was the Diamondbacks. It was the Pirates. These teams that you should be beating. And it's so unfortunate because I think we've worn a ton of different hats throughout this season.
And something like lids.
Yeah, it started as, wow, this is a slow start, but this team has the components to still come back from this. And
too much talent what we said, but where is the talent? They traded it.
Yeah, exactly. Like the timeline was thrown off for a while. You trade Rafael Devers and you're like, wow, it can't get worse from here. Anthony comes up and you're like, wow, this cannot get better. Then he goes down and we're fucked. That's it. That's where we're at.
Yeah. Oh yeah. This is a September 2011 level collapse. Maybe I won't go as far as to say that it's worse than this, because they went from the best record in baseball to missing the playoffs, and that team had way more talent than this one, so it was more embarrassing. But this is getting there. Like, this is like genuinely pathetic.
Yeah, and I don't want to doomsday prep too much, but that's where we're at. We have 9 games left.
I will.
So.
Yeah, we introduced the Entering Kenmore Red Sox panic meter, and if you saw that graphic, I was already there at Thank You Red Sox Nation.
Well,
on
the
scale
problem
of 1 to Thank You Red Sox Nation, I'm at Thank You Red Sox Nation.
Yeah, and I'm trending towards that point. The problem is you needed to beat the A's. Like, you have the Rays coming up here, and they're not a good team, but if you can't beat the Athletics, what makes me think that they can beat the Rays? Like,
well, I mean, and you said it too. Like, it not only can they not beat the A's, they can't beat the fucking Pittsburgh Pirates.
Mm-hmm. Or the Diamondbacks, like, or any of these other bad teams. Like, White Sox earlier, the Angels.
Like, and I've been saying this for weeks, pretty much since Roman Anthony went down and the offense went into the shitter. If your team is relying on a 21-year-old rookie to carry your offense, you have so many more problems than just that 21-year-old getting hurt. And it starts at the top with Craig Breslow getting his feelings hurt at the beginning of the season and deciding to trade Rafael Devers, which I've harped on for the entire season since it happened. I'm going to continue to harp on it for the entire offseason when the Red Sox are fighting tooth and nail to find an impact power bat to put into this lineup when you had one. And whatever, you traded Rafael Devers, you felt like that was the move you had to make. Fine, if that's what you felt. The return is fucking useless. James Tibbs, who you flipped for Dustin May, who you banished to the Shadow Realm. Kyle Harrison, who gave you the 3 most mid-innings of all time in Oclimento, and you're going to see him again on Saturday. Jose Bayo, who is a lottery ticket. And Jordan Hicks, who was so fucking awful, he was somehow worse with you than he was with the Giants, that you banished him to the Shadow Realm as well. So for your best player, you got 2 guys you've banished to the Shadow Realm, and Jose Bayo, and like the most mid pitcher of all time. But fucking 18 months ago, he was a top 20 prospect, so he must be good. Like, no, Kyle Harrison sucks. Jordan Hicks sucks. Dustin May sucks. And who knows what Jose Bayo is. I don't want to talk down on his name because at this point, we have to hope that he's the second coming of Pedro.
Not to mention that Rafael Devers was slumping for like a month and a half with the Giants and everybody was doing cartwheels like, look, this guy sucks. Like, we were right to move on from him. And now he's hitting piss missiles. And the Giants are still alive in the playoff race. Like, I would argue they have a better chance of making the playoffs. It just, they do. That's how it feels.
Yeah, no, and they do. And it should feel like that because they can't hit their way out of a wet paper bag right now. And like, that's the long and the short of it. And it's not just the like impact guys. It's everyone. I mean, Seidon Rafaela, aside from 2 weeks in July, has been like the worst hitter in baseball all season. Like I texted you this, like Seidon Rafaela for 2 weeks, hashtag whatever happens there. Like I'm so like, I was like, I said it before, but I was premature on my apology to Seidon Rafaela. I completely revoke my apology to Seidon Rafaela. He could be Brooks Robinson out there in center field. And I want to gouge my eyes out every time he's at the plate. Like whatever adjustments he made for 2 weeks, the fact that those didn't stick is insane to me because it's the exact same bullshit that we've seen for 2 years out of him swinging at fucking dog shit in the other batter's box. Like you shouldn't be flailing at sliders that are ending up in the left-handed batter's box and getting to play every day. I don't care how good your defense is.
I totally agree. And the other problem is your best player right now is Trevor Story. And that's not a knock on Trevor Story, but coming into this season, you're like, Trevor Story's not going to stay healthy for the whole season. Now he's your best player, like comfortably your best player. And Alex Bregman, who we were just talking before we started recording, Jeff Passan said Alex Bregman is not going to opt out unless he has a generational slump. Well, we're there. We're there right now. It has been absolutely horrid.
He said, hold my beer.
And I absolutely want Alex Bregman to stay with this team. That's not me saying get him the hell out of here. But at a certain point, buddy, like you're the lifeblood of this team. You're the leader of this team, especially with Roman Anthony out, and you're doing nothing.
Yeah, it is. It like honestly, like everyone leading up to the season was like, all right, guys, like everyone be prepared. Alex Bregman is a notoriously slow starter, and he came out like a bat out of hell. And was on absolute fire, was everything you wanted him to be and more. And now on the flip side, we're seeing it come back around. Like normally he started the season cold and then gets going and kicks it into a second gear. We're seeing the exact opposite of that. It's an 84 WRC plus since August 1st. 233 batting average. A 665 OPS. And it's not even like he's striking out a lot or walking. It's a 9.2% strikeout rate and it's an 11.4% walk rate. It's a 243 BABIP. So sure, you could say that's a little bit of batted ball luck, but he's also just not putting up very competitive at-bats and he's really not like hitting the ball all that hard. So it's like, at a certain point, like you just need more from him. Like, and I understand he came back probably earlier than he was anticipating or tried to from the quad injury, but at that point he's been back for what, 2 months now, a month and a half?
Way like, too long for it to be an excuse.
It's time to start hitting the fucking ball, buddy. Like you're a guy that's gonna opt out because you think you can get 7 and 210, something that we both said like a month ago we would do in a heartbeat and not even think twice about it. And now, like, I don't know, like, I think you still do it because you backed yourself into such a corner that you have no choice but to, but like, I'm certainly not feeling great about it.
No, and that was supposed to be like a safe point, like a constant in your lineup this year. And I understand the injuries happen and you missed him for a little while, but now that he's back, especially without Roman Anthony, like this is just kind of inexcusable. And it's so unfortunate that you put all your stock into him pretty much because you alienated your at the time best player and got it, your relationship to a point with him that you just felt like it was unsalvageable and you moved on. So what other choice do you have now? Like, and all this time I was told, you know, Bregman is the guy, he's the leader, he's done it before, and he's had so much success with the Astros, and it's just like, that's the guy that should be pulling the load right now, and it just hasn't been there. I don't know what to make of it.
getting into it, it's weird. I can't remember when it was. Maybe it was Sunday. Sunday night that I heard a story from, I want to say it was Will Fleming, that Nate Lowe walked into the clubhouse on Sunday and was like, well, guys, if we lose today, the season's over.
Oh.
And all the young guys were like, the fuck are you talking about, dude? And he was like, yeah, you know, you've heard it all. You've seen it all. If we lose today, the season's over. Kind of trying to like give everyone a kick in the ass, being like, there's still plenty of season left. We're not dead yet. Didn't work. Well, it worked for one day.
Yeah,
it worked for exactly one day. And now we're right back where they were. And not for nothing, Nate Lowe's been pretty bad too.
Like, oh, he
started out, yeah, he started out super hot, but he's gone the way of Dom Smith and Garrett Cooper and all the other Jags.
Abraham Toro?
Yeah, like all the other Jags that they've trotted out there trying to fill the first base void. And it's just not working. Like, and I'm not giving Tristan Casas the position. Just, all right, you're back. You're our first baseman next year. But that's a whole, like, we went from being like, oh, like Nate Lowe, he's got another year of control. Do you maybe just give him the $15 million in arbitration just to keep him around? I'm not giving him anywhere close to $15 million. He can get non-tendered and go the way of everybody else. Although his walk-up song is Creed with Arms Wide Open, which is
One
Fire.
Last Breath.
Or, oh yeah, yeah, one, whatever, same fucking thing. I'm not a Creed aficionado, but whatever. I forget where I was going with that.
Sorry.
6 feet. No, 6 feet down. Maybe 6 feet ain't so far down. That's kind of how I was feeling watching this team today. Like,
I'm glad you landed the plane there. Was awesome.
Yeah. It's so unbelievably bad and bleak. And the Fangraphs playoff odds now, they're sitting at 86% after today. The Guardians won again today. 82%, 82.8. So you have an 83% chance of getting in. The Guardians are up to a 26.2% chance. And it's a game and a half lead, technically two, because you do have the tiebreaker over them. But like, I don't even think the tiebreaker is going to come into play. Like, talk about a team that just finds ways to win. The Cleveland Guardians, Jeff Passan tweeted it today. They have two guys with an OPS plus over 100, and they're just finding ways to win, and they're finding ways to be 3.5 games back of the Tigers for that division lead. And they're finding a way. They traded their best pitcher, Shane Bieber, at the deadline, and they're still going to find a way to pass you. Like, at some point, like, something has to give here. Like, you have the injury excuse, you have the, oh, well, they traded our best player excuse, but at a certain point, enough is enough. You have to find a way to dig deep and win a fucking baseball game.
Yeah, there's no way around it. Like, that 83% it doesn't make me very confident. I'm not sitting pretty. Like, oh well, don't worry, guys. Like, that's,
I think that's
going
about
down.
80% too high.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like they were at like 98% like 2 weeks ago.
It's just an insane collapse, and it's at the point where, like, I hate to say it, but I'm already in off-season mode.
Oh, like, I absolutely am too.
Even if they make the playoffs, like, they're a first round exit. I don't even care if you get the Yankees at this point. Like, if you don't have Roman Anthony, I'm just not confident you beat any of these teams.
No, and like, we kind of been saying all along, like, okay, well, you have Garrett Crochet, so that should be at least a win in game one. Unless Garrett Crochet's throwing a perfect game, they're not gonna, like, how much faith do you have in them to score more than two runs?
Lose 1-0.
Yeah, right, exactly, because that other team, whether it be the Guardians, whether it be the Yankees, whether it be one of the Mariners or Astros, they're throwing their number one at you too. So, like, okay, Hunter Brown versus Garrett Crochet, Logan Gilbert versus Garrett Crochet, Max Fried, any one of the two, like you said, unless you're winning 1-0, it doesn't matter. And then after that, you're just losing game 2 and 3 anyways. So,
yeah, and also not to mention that Giolito and Bayo have kind of fallen off in the last couple starts. Like, I don't feel as good about that three-headed monster as I did a couple weeks ago. Like,
no, yeah, then Bayo's been awful in the month of September. It's an ERA over 5.
And Giolito hasn't been that good either. He's been pretty limited in his last two starts. And he also, yeah, I think he walked 5 yesterday, so.
Yeah, it's just,
oh, geez.
Yeah, it is, it's over.
You should have gotten swept by the A's. Like, honestly.
Yes.
That was a pretty good comeback last night, and obviously the Sogard walk-off was cool, but it's like, you just go around and blow all that momentum the day after. So it's like, how excited can I be about that anymore?
Well, you can't be. Like, it's just, it's as simple as that. This can't be right. They haven't played 40 games without Roman Anthony.
Like, what is
What is Fang? Well, obviously not. It was, I have it sorted for August 2nd. That was the last day of Roman Anthony. And it's the 18th. Is it? It might actually be 40 days.
August 2nd?
That's what the last day on his game logs is. That can't be right either, actually.
No. It had to be longer than that.
September 2nd. I'm fucking... I'm not going to say that. But... Jesus, that is okay. That makes so much more sense.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm staring at Fangraphs trying to look at how many runs per game they've scored since he went down, and it's just like 40. There's no way. 23rd in baseball in the 13 games without Roman Anthony, 58 runs scored. I'm not even gonna try to Zach versus math that one. I'm just gonna get 4.4 runs per game without Roman Anthony.
It's just horrible.
And, like, how many of that comes from, like, a couple outlier games?
Right, because you had a few blowouts in there.
Yeah, like, there's... It is so unbelievably bleak. Like, yeah, you scored 7 against... You scored 14 in 2 days against the Diamondbacks and then A's. I guess you scored 20 in 3 days if you count that second game against the A's. And then after that, it's just a whole lot of small numbers. Like... It's over. Like, that's where we're at. Like, it is over.
It's unfortunate. It just seems like everything is going the wrong direction right now. Like, you felt really good about the pitching. You felt really good about the offense with Roman Anthony. Now he's not here. And now the pitching, I'm confident in saying the Linsanity run is pretty much over. For everyone not named Garrett Crochet, and even Garrett Crochet hasn't looked as good. So...
Yeah, I mean,
no. Garrett Whitlock looks good. Aroldis Chapman, he had a couple bad outings, and now he's pretty much back. So at least you got the back end of the bullpen, but they're not going to be able to help you if you can't score any runs.
Doesn't matter unless, like the back end of your bullpen squared away while you're losing fucking 4-1 baseball games.
Yeah, and none of them are going to come into the game.
Collapsing, yeah. Like, it doesn't matter if the bullpen's firing on all cylinders when you're going to be sitting on your couch watching the wild card series in 2 weeks.
You needed to use Garrett Whitlock in multiple innings and Aroldis Chapman in a game against the A's. I was about to say Oakland A's, but the Oclamento A's. Like, nothing about that is like, yep, we're making a deep playoff run. Let's go, boys. Like, it's all just... The wind has been taken right out of our sails, and this is just so unfortunate.
Yeah, I agree. You said it. You're like pretty much shifting gears towards off season mode. I am like entirely in off season mode at this point. I want Kyle Schwarber. I need Seidon Rafael and Jaron Duran off my baseball team. I need Masataka Yoshida sent to the Shadow Realm. I need a lineup that on any given night doesn't consist of 5 Jags in Romy Gonzalez, Rob Refsnyder, Nate Eaton, like Nick Sogard. Like, I like some of these guys in a vacuum, but when you're relying on them to carry your offense, like, that is where you find yourself in trouble. Like, what good teams continuously have quad A talent in their lineup night in and night out? And it's not just without Roman Anthony. It was like that with him too, which is why I have so much of an issue of trading your best player, because you fucked up. Rafael Devers didn't fuck up. You did. You spent the entire offseason saying, man, Alex Bregman would be a great fit. This falls on Cora too. Cora, every time he had a microphone in front of his face and got asked about Alex Bregman's free agency, was like, this guy might be the greatest second baseman who ever walked the earth. And then they signed him and immediately threw that out and said, he's playing third. He's our third baseman. Because your little computer system told you that your best team had Christian Campbell at second base and Alex Bregman at third base. And that looked fantastic for a month when Christian Campbell was the AL Rookie of the Month in April and Alex Bregman was the AL Player of the Month, or maybe like, or I can't remember if he won it, but, or was just like up there in the voting.
He's up there.
But yeah, like, it looked fantastic for a month until you realize, like, oh shit, we really rushed Christian Campbell to the big leagues, and he still hasn't been able to rebound. Like Campbell, his surface numbers look okay, but when you take a deep dive under the hood, they don't look all that encouraging. Like, he's still not hitting the ball very hard. I maybe think that the rib injury that he suffered at the end of April, early May, is still kind of lingering, and it's never really been addressed. So hopefully that's something he can figure out. But, like, so now you have fucked this up so beyond repair that you are forced to give a guy who's having just one of the worst months of all time. I won't go that far, but he's been awful in Bregman, having one of the worst months of all time is Sidon Rafael.
Yeah.
But so you have potentially fucked up one of your top prospects. You have cornered yourself into a situation where you had to trade your best player for pennies on the dollar, and now have to give Alex Bregman a, like, very uncomfortable contract to make sure that you don't completely blow this beyond repair. Like, that comes back to Breslow, and it's something that I said earlier, like, someone's head has to roll after they collapse and miss the playoffs. Someone has to get fired, and it's not going to be Cora. And I've seen that the Cora people are, like, some of the dumbest people in the history of the sport that just don't they're looking at this lineup, be like, what is Cora doing? Like, how could he be done? Like, yeah, man, I'm sure Alex Cora's fucking pumped that he has to put Nate Eaton in the lineup every day.
Oh my God. Yeah. It has to be Pete Fatsy, because the offense has been, like you said last episode, has been anemic without Roman Anthony.
You're right.
Yeah, yeah. Shout out to the dictionary.
Yeah, Jen McCaffrey for Jen McCaffrey using it in an article and me being like, oh, bang, nailed it.
But the problem is, we just have no other choice at this point but to re-sign Alex Bregman to that uncomfortable contract, like you said. Like, if Bregman doesn't come back, the team is way worse off, whether he's producing like this or he's producing like he was at the beginning of the season. It doesn't really matter. You still need him there, because what is your other option? Like, you don't have one.
No, you don't have one. And like, I don't want to make it sound like I'm like, oh, like, I'm not giving Alex Bregman in 7 and 210. I'm doing that immediately. It's just, like, the fact that it's come down to, like, we have to give Alex Bregman, like, and who knows, it could be more than that. Like, who knows who gets involved? If the Yankees get involved, like, the one team he cannot go to is the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that much is, like, if the Tigers do something stupid and give him, like, 10, and like, a Bogarts-level deal, then, like, let them be stupid. The only team that I'm like, all right, well, like, 11 and 270 for a 31-year-old is not something that we want to do, but he's about to sign with the Yankees for that, so, like, I guess we have to.
Yeah, like, that would be very unfortunate.
Like, and that is, like, a nightmare.
Mm-hmm. And we're not that far off from that. I think the other unfortunate thing that I don't really have a good spot to insert, but I want to make sure I say it, is we both nailed our biggest disappointments because, buddy, oh, yeah. Greg Weissert, I mean, you have runners on, he's going to make damn sure they score. Like, it is so unfortunate how he has blown some of the best young starts in a Red Sox uniform we have seen in some time. From Peyton Tolley's debut to Connelly Early's second start, where he was dicing up the team he diced up a week before. Like, dude, I mean, way to kill the vibe, man. If the vibes weren't already low enough, Greg Weissert just comes out every single time and is like, they can be worse, and I'm going to make sure they get there.
Dude, and Weissert, I didn't notice this until the other day when I was kind of digging into the stats, because Cora was like, oh, Weissert's been, like, Weiss has been nails for a while. He is awful at Fenway Park.
Yeah.
Just terrible. So in 29 innings at Fenway Park, it's a 4.66 ERA compared to a 1.65 in 32 2/3 on the road. Like, at some point, enough is enough. And he has been good in the second half. He's been better in the second half than he was in the first half. In 20 1/3 innings since the All-Star break, it's a 2.66 ERA. But I don't want to see him coming in a situation like that at Fenway Park. I don't care how good he's been, because the numbers tell you the exact opposite. Like, oh, like, we liked that pocket for Weiss because we like Slayton coming in a better inning. Like, on the Connelly Early thing, 80 pitches with Brent Rooker coming up, like Cora said, it was his call and it was because of the batter. It wasn't because of any type of pitch count or pitch limit. Like, that's where I think Cora fucked up. Like, I think that was a mistake by Alex Cora to pull him there. And say what you will, like, people will point to that and be like, see, that's why you need to get Cora out of here. Like, again, like, I don't think Alex Cora is submitting the lineup card being like, all right, Masataka Yoshida's hitting cleanup here. Like, I feel great about this. Like, I refuse to believe that it's Alex Cora's fault. And I won't believe it's Alex Cora's fault, because you cannot name me three better managers in Major League Baseball. So unless you're getting like Bruce Bochy to leave the Rangers and come manage you to fire Alex Cora, I'm not interested in it. Oh, dude, why don't they just hire Veritek? Like, if Jason Veritek was going to be, and I've had this rant before, if he was going to be a manager in Major League Baseball by now, he would have been. Like, a team would have hired him before. And there's a reason why, when people talk about his new position as the game plan coordinator, his wife on Twitter will be like, well, technically it was a demotion, because the catching defense was so fucking atrocious last year. They were like, all right, we need to bring in someone else because this isn't cutting it. Like, I like Jason Veritek, don't get me wrong, I don't want him anywhere near the manager's chair.
No, and I totally agree. And that's the thing, is I've heard a lot of people call for Alex Cora's head all season. And like you said, like, there's no one better out there. Like, what is your backup plan if you don't have Alex Cora anymore? There isn't one. And you also just extended him. So what, you're going to give up on him like a year or so into that contract extension? Like, that doesn't make sense either.
And people will say, well, they never should have extended him. I've always hated Cora, this, that, and the other thing. And like, okay, so let's play this out. They don't sign Alex Cora to that extension last year. Red Sox missed the playoffs. He goes into free agency, effectively. The Yankees fire Aaron Boone. The Phillies fire Rob Thompson. Both of those immediately become suitors for Alex Cora. You want Alex Cora running the Yankees? That's what you want? Like, what are we doing here? Like, these are the same – like, and I'm sure those people would be like – well, yeah, I do want him running the Yankees, because he'll run them into the ground just like he ran this place into the ground. It's like, all right, dude, I must have missed the fact that someone else was managing the best team in Red Sox history. I must have been asleep for 2018.
I mean, it's tough because we're so far removed from that now, and I understand that the results haven't been good since then, but that's not Alex
the Cora's rosters fault. Have sucked.
Exactly. Yeah,
the rosters have been awful.
Exactly. And
the roster's awful this year, too. Like, this is a team we went from saying earlier in the year, like we said it, what, 10 minutes ago, this team has too much talent to be this bad. They have no talent anymore. They have two good players on this current roster. Two good hitters on this current roster. And even then, like, saying, like, calling Alex Bregman a good hitter, like, that's more based on what he's done in his career than what he's done for me lately. So you have Trevor Story and you have Alex Bregman as the only two guys that you can say, like, all right, I believe that this guy can, like, can pull it together. I have no faith in Jaron Duran when he's up. Like, I've been sick of Jaron Duran on this baseball team, but he's completely useless at this point. And I just don't know, like, who else you blame but Craig Breslow. Like, and they're not going to fire Breslow because we've been through it before. They're not going to get anyone to take this job. No. But, like, at this point, if they collapse here and they can look at this roster and say, you laid an egg at the deadline, you traded the best player for nothing after you alienated him by botching the entire offseason and Alex Bregman's free agency and your communication skills. Like, at this point, like, if you want to make a move with Cora and Breslow, I would fucking slide Cora right up there into Breslow's seat and Ramon Vasquez your new manager. Like,
I wouldn't hate that.
Like, honestly, I just talked myself into that. That's what I'm rooting for now.
Yeah, and all signs point to Pete Fatsy should probably be fired simply because
he can go too.
Yeah, the offense, I mean, there was a time where we were excited because he was like, oh wait, let's have like group hitting meetings rather than the one on one thing. Or did I have that
right? No, you were right. No.
Okay.
Yeah, group meetings. Yeah. We had this plan coming from LA that we were going to take the couch out of my office and drag it into the hitter's room.
Awesome.
And make it a collaborative effort.
Yeah. That doesn't help people hit with runners in scoring position. Like, this has been a problem all season. And that little glimpse of hope where it's like, guys, I took out the couch in my office. We're all good now. Oh, everything's great. No, the Lynn Sanity run is over. Like, this offense has been so bad for now upwards of a month and a half. Like, even before Roman Anthony was out, it's been a problem hitting with runners in scoring position. And all of these one-run losses, we've seen them all year. If you win even half of those, you're probably in a playoff spot right now. You would have already clinched, I would imagine. And
yeah, so
this is where we're at.
This comes from today's game notes.
Okay.
Which I knew we were recording. When I read them, I was like, all right, I'm going to take these home with me so I can now use this stat. So this is not including today. The Red Sox, this is talking about Wednesday night.
Okay.
Red Sox went 3-for-17 last night with runners in scoring position.
God.
They've hit 146 or 7-for-48 with runners in scoring position during the current homestand. I forgot this last part. With the bases loaded in their last 35 games beginning on August 9th, Boston has hit 167,
wow.
6-for-36, with one extra base hit, one hit by pitch, and three sacrifice flies. It's just, it is so unbelievably over.
And if Pete Fatsy has a job by the day after the season ends, whenever that may be, then it is a disservice to this team. I just don't understand. There's no one better out there than Pete Fatsy. I just don't believe it. And I don't think a hitting coach solves all your problems, but it's at least a start. Like, I don't see them firing Andrew Bailey. I don't see them moving on from Cora or Breslow. Someone has to go. It's got to be Fatsy. Like, this is inexcusable. The lack of production with runners in scoring position. And it's been all season. Like, we can pretend that it's been, like, this recent development. It hasn't. It hasn't. It's been well before that.
And you can even go beyond this season. It was last season.
Totally.
It was the season before that. Like, this has been a lingering problem with the Red Sox that they just cannot get out of their own way with runners in scoring position. And part of it is a lack of talent. I am willing to fully admit that. And I just told you, I'm in offseason mode. I need Kyle Schwarber. I need a second baseman. I need Masataka Yoshida replaced by someone else. Like at this point, get me Pete Alonso and Kyle Schwarber. Like,
I don't really Pete Alonso today.
Like, I don't really give a shit if, that's redundant. Then you have three first basemen on the roster. Like, okay, fine. You need a DH because I'm sick of watching Masataka Yoshida ground out the second base.
We
did the whole, like, Moana, it's fun. You're welcome. Like, if he does the macho man, like at this point, I'm that's where I'm at. Like, last week I was willing to be like, it's not over yet. Like, now it's like, all right, time to stop fucking around. Like, it's the Yoshi meme. First I LOL, then I serious.
Like, you have 9 games left. Like, you have a week and a half left, less than that. And I just, nothing about this makes me confident. You have the Rays and then the Blue Jays and then the Tigers. And yeah, the Tigers might not have anything to play for then, but even still, I think they'd probably still be fighting for that number one seed with the Blue Jays. So
Right. They're
not going to have nothing to play for. And
the Guardians have tightened things up on them. Like, who knows where things could be in a week?
Yeah.
We have no idea. 3.5
for the Tigers.
Yeah.
Oh, geez. I didn't realize it was that close. Okay. Yeah. So they're not going to be unserious in that final series.
No. And like, I don't know. Like, it's just, it's so, oh my God.
What's up?
Since September 2nd, the date that Roman Anthony went down, Sedan Rafaela has a 7 WRC plus.
Not going to do it.
7!
And oh boy.
Somehow that is not the worst in baseball.
Who's worse?
Brenton Doyle,
oh,
the Colorado Rockies, is clocking in at the worst in baseball with a negative 30 WRC plus.
Wow.
And Michael Harris of the Braves is clocking in at negative 26.
Wow. Those are two pretty bad teams this year.
Yeah. Michael Harris hasn't walked. 0.0 walk percentage.
He has not walked all season?
No, since September 2nd.
Oh, okay.
I would imagine he's walked all season. But
yeah.
I mean, he was always a guy that wasn't really the... He's a... Oh my God, what? He's rocking a 2.3% walk rate this year.
2.3?
Yeah. That is something. That is, wow. Okay. Well, Michael Harris, oh, wow. From rookie of the year to fucking shitter. That is something. Sadon's got a 4.6% walk rate, so.
At a certain point, I don't care how good your defense is. Like,
yeah, bingo, and that's where I'm at with Sadon Raffaello too.
Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. I don't have much else. I think that was therapeutic. I mean, there's a lot of different avenues we could go down here. I don't even have a player that I'm mad I can't buy their jersey for this week. That's how bad it's been. I don't want any Connelly jersey early right
again.
Now.
Connelly early again.
Connelly early again. Yeah, because. Like, how unfortunate is it that you blew his second start ever, and it was pretty much as good as his first with less
starts? And it was like copy-paste how exactly. You blew the Toley start. Like,
yeah, the same exact scenario. Five and a third, right?
Yeah, yes.
And Weiser blows it.
Yep.
One bright spot is Peyton Toley looked pretty good out of the bullpen. And then he shouldn't have given up a run, but that – or was it an error? I don't know if it's charged to him or not.
I actually didn't keep my scorecard, so I can't. I feel like it was unearned, though.
Let's see. Can I see a recap? Is this gonna? If this shows me highlights, I might crash out. it is highlights.
All right. Of course.
I'll get it for you in a sec. Jeez.
Yeah, I would pull it up, but I'm just doing some comparisons to Christian Campbell's time in the big leagues versus Sadon Raffaello since the All-Star break.
Okay, it was not earned.
Okay, all right. So,
three innings out of the bullpen for him, three hits, and that one run on the error, and also four strikeouts. That's pretty good. It looked like his secondaries were working much better today.
Yeah, and the stuff ticked up. He, I know technically the Fenway Sport scoreboard rounds up when it shows you that stuff. So it showed 100 on the scoreboard. I think technically it was 99.7.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously that is what you're hoping to see happen when you move a guy like that to the bullpen. It looked better, like you said. The secondaries ticked up. Everything ticked up a bit, and it's like, okay, like we have a weapon for in the bullpen for the next nine games until we inevitably fall out of contention. Yeah. So, like that's like I saw someone say that, like, oh, like at least we know Toley's a weapon for the playoffs. Like, and I think it was Pod on Lansdowne tweeted the picture of the guy putting his hand on the shoulder.
Yeah, like playoffs.
Yeah, playoffs. Just like, trying to win a game.
That's where we're at, man. Like, I don't think they make it. Like,
no, I don't either.
And honestly, like, I hate to say this, but I'm also at the point where it's like, I kind of hope they don't, because if they did, I honestly don't think they win a game.
No, they don't.
So, like, I mean,
like we said, like, who do you run into? You run into Logan Gilbert against Crochet. You run into Hunter Brown against Crochet. Like, unless you're winning that game, 1-0.
Like, or Max Fried, potentially.
Yeah, any number of guys. Like, even if it ends up being, like, who knows how things could shift around. Like, I guess those are the main ones, the main four. But, like, if something, like, drastic happens with the Tigers or Blue Jays where they, like, really fall off and they wind up having to play in the wild card, like, you run into what, Bieber or Gosman? Gosman owns you and like and has for quite a while. Scooble, like we're talking about facing one of the best pitchers in baseball. Like,
hey, but don't worry, we have the lefty killer lineup, so we're good.
Yeah. Yeah, we got a lineup full of a bunch of quad A players, but they're all really good against lefties. So
like give me a break. I can't do it anymore. And I've been upset with that whole lefty thing all season. And I got off it for a bit when Romy Gonzalez proved me wrong. Mm-hmm. Even he has not been great lately.
No, he was scorching hot for a while and then disappeared in this A's series.
Yeah, like he was on, I think, like a 10-plus game hitting streak for a little while.
I think he got to 12 or 13.
So, I mean, he's kind of the least of the offense's problems at this point, but even still, like, as a whole, the offense has just not been good enough all season.
No, and here's what I was cooking in while you're looking at us, this is Sadon Raffaello since the All-Star break. 184 batting average, 245 OBP, 279 slugging, and an OPS of 524. Like I said, it's a 42 WRC+. Christian Campbell from May 1st until he was inevitably sent down on June 18th came in at 159, 243, good for a 465 OPS and a WRC plus of 30. So we were talking about Christian Campbell, like this was like completely untenable. He's overmatched. He doesn't look like he's ready for the big leagues anymore. And I know that the key difference is the defense, but like at a certain point, it needs to be like, all right, we just cannot afford to have this black hole in the lineup anymore, no matter how good the defense is. Like Jaron Duran's defense has been so much worse this year than it was last year. But at a certain point, I would rather just see him out there. And I know I've shit on Duran and said I want him gone. I stand by that. But like at some point, him hitting 260 is better than Sadon Rafaela hitting fucking 140 for the better part of 2 months. Like last year, Jaron Duran was 95th percentile outs above average in center field. Like he's obviously not as good as Sadon Rafaela, but he's a gold glove caliber center fielder. So like it's not worth it when you can't hit your way out of a wet paper bag, which they can't right now, to be like, oh, well, Sadon's giving us nothing and he's an automatic out, but his defense.
That's my other problem is the September call-ups were horrible. Like, why are we calling up a third catcher who can't catch Aroldis Chapman for whatever reason? And then you're not going to call up the password or Christian Campbell to fill in as one of these outfielders. You're going to go with the Nate Edens of the world and the Rafaelas. Obviously, Rafaela would stay on the roster, but if you had one of those guys, you could sub them in and give Rafaela a break because clearly whatever he's doing right now, still playing every day, is not helping.
I just don't get why they called up Garcia earlier in the month like and then didn't play him at all. Yeah, mm-hmm. Didn't play him hardly at all. And then just immediately sent him back down. And like you said, Ali Sanchez does not play. He hasn't played hardly at all. So like, what is the, you like went out and you traded for him to bring him back and you don't play him. Like, what is the value in having three catchers on the roster? I would rather see Justinson Garcia out there over like four guys in the lineup routinely every night.
Even like Christian Campbell.
Yeah. Like at least those guys have a future on the team and a future in the league.
Right.
No disrespect to Nate Eaton or any of those guys or Ali Sanchez or any, like I said, any of those guys. Those guys don't have a future on this team and they might not have a future in the league. Mm-hmm. So, like, what is the point in the heart of a playoff race wasting a spot on a third catcher that you refuse to play? But you already have two bad catchers.
We've said the roster hasn't made sense all season, but I think we might be at an all-time low in terms of roster construction. Like, once you traded Rafael Devers and you tried to pawn off Masataka Yoshida as the second coming of Jesus Christ to me, I just haven't been able to buy into anything they've been doing.
Yeah, we traded our best player, but we got Masa coming back, and he can step right in and DH. Like,
yep.
Like, all right, dude, cool. Yeah,
he's good for a ground out to second base three to four times a game. He had a good game in game two against the Athletics. But even still, aside from that, and they pinch hit for him, or they pinch ran for him with David Hamilton, and that at-bat came up, and what did David Hamilton do? Nothing. So
obviously. Yeah, and I don't know, like, and Breslow has the cover of like, oh, like, I think there's a real chance that when we look back at things, we're going to have won more games than we otherwise would have. Mm. I thought that was stupid when he said it. I think it's even dumber now. If you have Rafael Devers in this lineup, not only are you a much better baseball team right now in the absence of Roman Anthony, amidst a slump from Alex Bregman, amidst Willier Abreu's injury, who we haven't even touched on yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a better team from June 16th to September 2nd. You're a better team. Who knows how many games you lose by one run where you just can't get a big swing and it comes up to a part in the lineup where it's like, all right, Rob Refsnyder, we need you. Like, again, no disrespect to Rob Refsnyder. I'd rather have Rafael Devers up in that spot than him. Like, this is who is hitting. Like, Masataka Yoshida is hitting cleanup for this team right now. Like, that's where we're at. Like, and you're telling me that that team with Masataka Yoshida hitting cleanup is better than a team with Rafael Devers? Like, give me a break, dude. Like, I'm so like, and I'm going to harp on the Devers trade until I'm blue in the face, because the fact that he got up there and won, not only lied about buying at the deadline, they immediately were like, they took the entire contract. We're going to be such big buyers here. He pulled like the Trump, like, we're going to win so much. You're going to be like, oh no, Mr. Breslow, I'm tired of winning. It's too much winning. Like that's what Craig Breslow did after trading Rafael Devers, and then completely pissed his pants at the deadline.
Like, that's something we haven't gotten upset enough about with Craig Breslow, because every single time they put a microphone in front of his face after the Rafael Devers trade, he was like, don't worry, guys, we could not be more prepared to buy at the deadline. Reinforcements are coming. How do you like Dustin May and Steven Matz? No offensive help whatsoever. I was beating the drum. Let's bring in Eugenio Suarez and make him a first baseman. And they missed out on that. Let's bring in Josh Naylor. He's a first baseman. We could really use one of those. Nope. He's also on the Mariners. And I will admit, not many offensive pieces moved, but those were the guys. And you could have made a deal for those, or at least gotten Joe Ryan. No, you did none of that. And Dustin May is not contributing to this team, and he won't be for the rest of the season. And even Matz is another lefty when you had way too many lefties already. Like,
and it doesn't matter. Ultimately, like, Steven Matz is a nice piece to mm-hmm. add at the deadline. But it's like, it's not like, oh shit, we got Steven Matz, now we go. It's like, it'd be like, okay, we got Josh Naylor and Steven Matz, here mm-hmm. we go. We got Eugenio Suarez and Josh Naylor, and here we go. Like, it, or in Steven Matz, here we go. It's, and like, look at the cost of acquisition for like any of those guys. Like, the key piece in the Suarez deal was Tyler Locklear, who sucks. Like, he hasn't done anything for the Diamondbacks. They gave up, we were recording live when the Mariners traded for Josh Naylor. They gave up nothing of note for him. Like, at a certain point, some of these players, some of these guys have to be shipped out. You have too many players for not enough spots. Like, you have an outfield surplus. Obviously, that surplus has dwindled with injuries. You can't really help that. But, like, also, you're still not using it. Like, Nate Eaton is playing right field instead of Justinson Garcia. So you can't say, like, oh, we went from having an outfield surplus to not enough outfielders. You still have plenty of outfielders. And you still have plenty of outfielders moving forward. Roman Anthony isn't dead. He's going to be back next year, to start next year. Like, Willy Abreu, again, he's going to be back. You still have Rafael. You still have Jaron Duran. The Sox prospect guys have been beating the drum on Christian Campbell for months that he's an outfielder. He's a left fielder. So you have him in the mix. You have Garcia in the mix. You have Ref Snyder. They've been telling you for the last 2 years that they think Masataka Yoshida can play the outfield. Like, Masataka Yoshida struggles to play baseball, period, and they think that he can play in the outfield.
He's played all of 2 games in the outfield this year. And yeah. I don't have much more to say, like, on this team. Like, they've broken my brain. That's
like, not to mention the pitching depth. Like, I don't think any of us are like, and we said this on the last episode, like, I'm not expecting Connelly Early or Peyton Tolley to be on the opening day roster next year. And no. If they are, then you've done something wrong. It's just Lucas Giolito, who knows where things stand with him. He hit the 140 innings, so it's now a $19.5 million mutual option.
Mm-hmm.
I would guess that he's opting out of that in search of more years at similar value.
Like, how comfortable, like, are you giving that to him at this point?
Not
like,
very.
He's really fallen off in the last month or so.
I think, like, I'd be comfortable with him. Like, they still need that number two. Like, mm-hmm. they still need Garrett Crochet, insert name, Brian Bayo, Lucas Giolito, fifth starter. Like,
I think they could use a more solidified fifth starter as well.
Yeah, like, even just someone that can eat innings. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not, like, I don't, like, I'm okay on Dustin May. Like, I don't want a high ceiling fifth starter. I want a high floor fifth starter. Like, just a guy yeah. that you know is going to go out there and be able to, like, to give you 5 innings. Like, give you a chance to win. Like, if that ends up being Early or Tolley, then, like, fine. Like, I guess that is what it is. But, like, I just, they need more. Like, they need more everything. They need more offense. They need more pitching. Like, I would say the only thing that they don't really need is bullpen help, but really they could use a shuffle in the bullpen, because there's still a high leverage right-handed arm short out mm-hmm. there.
or even just a right-hander in general. Like, when Jordan Hicks came here and they were like, don't worry, guys, he's a high-leverage righty out of the bullpen.
Elite high-leverage reliever were the words that could not Craig Breslow, yeah, in Craig Breslow's infamous press conference where he was like, we're going to be the biggest buyers of all time. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the season, you're going to look back and you're going to be like, we won so much. We got Jordan Hicks. We got an elite high leverage reliever, and it's only going to cost us $25 million over the next 2 years. He was supposed to be that guy. He sucks. The fact that they were banking on him being that guy shows a flaw in their evaluation. And it can't just be like, oh, the Giants were like, oh, if we're going to eat this money, you have to eat the Jordan Hicks money. We know that they love Jordan Hicks. They were like, oh, we'll take Jordan Hicks. And the Giants were like, you will? And they were like, oh, we won't do this deal unless Jordan Hicks is involved. And he's like, all right, we're in. Like Buster Posey played Craig Breslow like a fucking fiddle.
Yeah. And he's a first-year guy. And he is the, I guess, the epitome of player turned to GM, because Breslow, they kept trying to tell us that he was that guy. And he got fleeced by
he knows what it's like year. To be in a clubhouse.
Mm-hmm. Ugh, it's just, oh my God. I can't believe we got to this point.
Yeah. All right, guys, here I am. I'm Craig Breslow. I'm the new GM of the Red Sox. And I'll tell you a fun fact. I played this game for 15 years, and I'll have been a player for longer than I've been in the front office. And that'll be true for another 10 years. I'm here to dispel the rumor that front office guys are just nerds that are wearing polos. And, oh, look, I'm wearing khakis. Ha ha, shit, khakis. Like, that's what he said. That was, like, the first 5 minutes of the clubhouse. The first introduction to Craig Breslow in that documentary that we had was him being a fucking nerd loser trying to be like, see, I know what's up. I'm a player. And I've harped on it, too. When they fired Heim Bloom, who, by the way, all of your good players right now trace back to Heim Bloom.
Mm-hmm.
But when they fired Heim and hired Breslow, it was exactly that. He knows what it takes at the deadline to go out and give a team a boost. And he's laid an egg 2 consecutive years at the deadline. And where was Theo? We know Theo was in the room with him. Like, at a certain point, someone needed to say something to him. Like, there's a problem within this entire power structure that is the Boston Red Sox front office. We have Brian O'Halloran and Raquel Ferreira and any number of these people, and Eddie Romero, like, who by all accounts are fantastic at what they do, but they've been around since the Theo days. They've been around for however long. Like, they are in such an echo chamber of themselves that no one had the balls to stand up and be like, all right, man, like, we are doing something wrong. Like, at a certain point, something is being done wrong at the very top of the organization. It goes all the way up to Sam Kennedy and John Henry and these guys. Like, that's one of the reasons why I'm very encouraged by the fact that they said that Craig Breslow was looking to hire a GM this offseason. Like, I just pray to God that it isn't like Brian O'Halloran, you're promoted, or Raquel, who I think is going to be a fantastic player or president of baseball ops, or whatever title she eventually gets when she gets there. I just want somebody from outside the organization to come in. And they did this audit, and all they did was fire a bunch of scouts and piss off a bunch of people. Yeah. They ultimately meaningless firings. Like, those people are probably way more valuable being in the organization than not, but it's saving John Henry a buck by firing them. Like, someone else needs to come in from outside the organization and be like, what in the fuck are you guys doing?
Like, yeah, and that kind of brings me to another just point I wanted to get off at some point in this episode, is I know we're all super excited that Fenway is rocking again, but there is a significant portion of the fan base that has absolutely no feel at Fenway Park.
Oh my fucking God.
It's insane to go to these games. And even yesterday, we're down late to the fucking Oklahoma Athletics. And we're doing the wave. We're blasting Sweet Caroline. We couldn't be happier to be losing to the Athletics. Like, it's just astounding.
Today, I texted you this.
Yep.
The eighth inning, down 5-3 or whatever, or maybe it was like just right before the Story home run. And we got the wave going around. Like, come on. Like, that is so annoying. I hate the wave. Sweet Caroline is one thing. I have lost the Sweet Caroline battle.
Yeah.
I'm done fighting it. I think it's stupid to play it when you're losing. I think it's stupid to play it when you're in the midst of terrible seasons. It's the same thing. Ninth inning today, the A's are up to at bat, and there's a Yankees suck chant going on.
Yeah.
No, they don't. Like, you're losing to the A's right now. You're about to fall out of playoff contention. You're completely shitting your pants down the stretch. Yankees suck. Yankees suck. Shut the fuck up. Like, holy shit. Like, I said this in a group chat with my friends earlier. The vibes at Fenway have kind of, they've completely shifted from a couple weeks ago where I want to say I was at a game during the Pirates series.
Mm-hmm.
And it felt like a playoff type atmosphere. Like, everyone was fired up. Everyone's into the game. Everyone's this and that. And I think last night was an outlier because of Section 10 night that draws the true sickos, the true Red Sox hardos, like ourselves. Like, I know you were there. I wasn't there. But, like, that draws the people that are, like, willing to listen to a 3-hour podcast talk about this team. Like, those people are in the top 1% of fans, and they filled the ballpark. But there's been a complete shift. Like, today, it was nervous energy for the entirety mm-hmm. of it. The game on whatever day last week, I worked Spanish radio, or earlier in the week, whatever day it was, it's the same thing. It's just, like, everyone's kind of, like, sitting on pins and needles, like, waiting for something to happen, and it's not happening. Like, everyone kind of, like, the vibe around the park is, like, all right, like, this is bad. Like, we are collapsing. Like, that's what's happening. Like, everyone feels it. Everyone is kind of holding it on their shoulders of, like, this is another September collapse.
Yep. And that might be all I have to say. I think it was a good therapy session. I don't know if you have anything else you wanted to get off your chest.
Lucas Giolito hit his innings. Yep. So he has the mutual option. I feel like there was another note that I wanted to hit on, but
Trevor Story set the record for the most stolen bases and then promptly got thrown out.
Yep.
Or not most stolen bases, but most without getting caught.
Most consecutive without getting caught. Yeah, yeah. Broke Trey Turner's record.
Most stolen bases is insane.
with 31.
Yeah. The Red Sox have broken my brain. I don't know what to say, but
yeah. I can't think of anything else. Like, it's just
Willier.
Willier. That's what it was. Yeah.
Willier. Where is he? Is he okay?
Yeah. Is he alive? Has anyone seen him? Actually, on Tuesday, I saw him taking BP on the field. Looked fine to me. And I know that, like, it sounds like his running isn't progressing the way they thought it would.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, I just want him on the field.
Was like, that the stopping offense... you when you were determining whether you wanted to bring Bregman back or not?
Right.
Like, no.
No. Like, at this point, like, he is so much more valuable just in a designated hitter role, even if he can't run it. Like, even if he is jogging to first base on balls that should be doubles and an automatic out on ground balls to, like, anywhere in the infield when he is on base, I would so much rather the bat in the lineup than anything else.
Especially over Masataki Yoshida in that DH spot. Like, that could be huge. Even if he's only at 75%.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, I think you and I would be up there and have a better chance of doing anything than Masa right now. Like, even when he's productive, he just kind of gets lucky hitting the ball the left side of the infield. Like,
bottom line, do you think we see Abreu again this season?
I feel like yes, but, like, also they've been telling us for the last week it's going to be any day now. Mm-hmm. Like, first it was all right. He's not going to play in the Yankees series, but on Tuesday against the A's, he'll be there. And then it's like, all right, this weekend against the Rays. And then today it was, well, he's not going to fly with the team to Tampa tonight, but he is probably going to meet us there tomorrow. So he's not going to play Friday. So it'll be Saturday. And then tomorrow we'll roll around. We'll be like, is Willier on his way here? And he's going to be like, he's going to meet us in Toronto. Like, so I feel like based on their messaging, the answer should be yes, but my confidence level in that is pretty low.
We're also at the point where it, like, maybe too little too late, you know, like,
right.
If they're bursting at the seams already, then what's the point of bringing him back?
Yeah, right, and risk further injuring. And I guess we don't really, like, we don't know where he stands, like, if it really is just the running or if he's having discomfort swinging, too. Like, so I guess it depends on, like, on that front, but, like, I don't know. Like, I think, like, this team's issues go so much deeper than not having Willy or Abreu in the lineup. Like, Willy or Abreu is a nice little player, but, like, also, like similarly to if your offense hinges on a 21-year-old rookie that to, like, keep you afloat, if your offense hinges on Willy or Abreu coming back to keep you afloat, then, like, this is a team that isn't, like, having Willy or Abreu in the lineup, like, how does that change your trajectory of, like, or how you feel heading into a playoff series? For me, it doesn't really change it a whole lot.
No, me neither. Especially without Roman Anthony. Like, if you had both those guys back, sure. But we won't. So, I don't think we're going to see, we're not getting to the point where Roman comes back either.
No, and, like, I guess that is something we can touch on, too, that yesterday Cora got asked by EEI Afternoons and then in the media, like, what is the deal with Roman, and he's just walking on a treadmill. Like,
great.
He walked on a treadmill for 25 minutes. Like, that's where he's at. Like, he is not anywhere close to coming back. Mm-hmm. And, like, in everyone that Cora saying, like, I told him, like, we'll see you game one of the ALCS, that should have set off alarm bells for absolutely everybody,
mm-hmm.
because we are not going to see him again this year.
I think also people got really upset with Cora being like, hey, maybe we should stop talking about October. He was right. So correct. I don't know why people are upset about that.
Yeah. So, and we were guilty of it too for, like, up until the last episode, pretty much we were saying the same thing. Like, all right, they're pretty much locked into a playoff spot. They are not locked into a playoff spot.
Who could have thought? This were to happen?
And, like, again, like, we were guilty of it too, but so was everybody. Like, Fangraphs had them at a 98% chance to make the playoffs. Like, it seemed like a given. And we were right about the Rangers. Like, they did their little thing where they got hot for a week and then fell back down to earth. But I don't think anybody saw the Guardians coming out of nowhere.
Not at all.
Like, the Guardians are the exact type of team that, like, sneaks in and makes a run. Too. Yeah, like, they get hot at the right time.
I think we both were like, I'm not worried about the Guardians, and I guess I'm still not if we were to go up against them in the playoffs, but I mean,
yeah, no, it's not about facing them head to head. It's about they're playing better baseball than you and they're going to get in and you're not. Because I feel similarly to you there. Like, if you were to say, like, all right, you're going to draw the Guardians in the first round, it would literally be like the clip of Carabas from a couple weeks ago. We're like, ooh, the Guardians! Like, that's how I would feel about facing them in a playoff series, but that's not the situation we're in. Like, it's going to be them or you. And it's going to be them. Like, it's not going to be them or you. It's going to be them.
I have no reason to think otherwise. I mean, they have a week and a half to prove us wrong. I don't think they will. So,
no.
Do you even want to preview the Rays series? I don't really care.
Yeah, no, not really. I mean, no. You have Crochet going tomorrow, so, like should be a win.
Crochet, Harrison, and Connelly early. So.
Yeah.
Who knows where we're at next time?
Kyle Harrison, entering Kenmore, play of the series. Oh, yeah. Tampa Bay Rays team total on Saturday against Kyle Harrison.
Okay.
that is where we're at. Junior Caminero over 1.5 hits, runs, RBI.
Like it. All right. Did you have anything else you wanted to add or?
Fun Boston Red Sox fact, they're ruining my life.
Absolutely. Couldn't have said it better myself. I think this was a good therapy session. We might need another one in another week. But as always, thanks so much for listening. We'll see where we're at in a week, but regardless, we will be there. So thanks for listening.
See ya.